Shocker, do you think you'd ever win a safety award?
Would I ever win a safety award?
Yeah.
I'm kind of a bit of a klutz, so I would think probably not. And it's not because I don't try. I just, I can be a little bit ham-handed at times with certain things. So I'm the guy that would accidentally take the entire rack of stock down with the forklift, accidentally. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, yeah. Strutty, do you think you'd ever win a safety award?
Yeah, I'm pretty detailed, meticulous, and when it comes to that type of stuff, yeah. Like when I cut lawn or whatever, whipper snip, and I always have the goggles on. You gotta be proactively safe, right?
Do you mow the lawn? But don't you mow the lawn with like sandals?
No, never. I would never do that. No, I didn't. Never. You know, I kid around a lot, but when it comes to that kind of stuff, I'm pretty serious. Like, you know, I did when I paint, I make sure I put down I have everything organized. I have the right stuff to open the can with. I put down a covering sheet. Like, you know, you guys.
I have the right stuff to open my can with.
Yeah. You got the right kind of screwdriver.
It's a screwdriver.
Good for you, little fella. Way to go.
It's one example, and that's what you're getting stuck on.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta have it organized. You know, I like it to be ready. Like you do it properly, and the job goes smoother instead of paint cans flying all over the place like you're Mr. Bean.
Yeah, I'm the guy that goes back and forth from the project to my garage 9 times before I have everything I need. Because I get started and then realize, oh crap, I don't have that, so yeah. I go. And then I'm putting stuff down, and then I can't remember where I put stuff, and then I'm looking for stuff, and then I kick the paint can over, and I'm that guy.
See, there's certain things where, like, when it comes to fencing at the farm, I'm on it. I've got everything.
Right.
I got the gloves. I got all the staples. I got the post mall. Got the wire stretcher. You know, two wire pullers. I'll have it all. And, you know, post mall, everything. Then there's other things. And I'm like, I'll get there. Oh, damn. I got to walk back and get it. So it depends what I'm doing. But if it like fencing, I kind of like it. And I know to plus you got to drive pretty far. Usually it's in the back 40 or whatever. You're fencing in the bush, so you don't have time. But usually when it's close, like I'll just infuriate my brother or my wife, depending on who I'm working with. And they'll be like, what? I'm like, oh yeah, just wait. I forgot something.
Do you dress
so
the
it really
part
depends
when you're out
on
there?
What I'm doing.
Do you dress the part when you're out there? Like I've never seen you with a large belt buckle and a hat. Like, do you dress the part when you're out there?
He's too small. He couldn't carry it.
First of all, anybody will tell you, I'm a farmer. I'm not at the rodeo. I don't have a belt buckle. Like, most farmers don't have belt buckles. Like, when I think about all the people that I grew up with on the farm, no one had it. That's like one of those, I think, urbanites look at people and think, oh, you're a farmer. You wear a, I never wore a cowboy hat. But really, I can't work with gloves. Like, I hate it. I don't really like, I got that from my dad. Like, I can't work with gloves on. So when I'm fencing, I'll come in, my arms are scratched up, you know, cut all over the place. So, I will wear gloves every now and then if I'm pulling the wire, but no, I've never worn a cowboy hat other than to a party. And I can honestly say I've never had a big belt buckle. I have some trendy belts, but I never wear it. Like, I can't wear a belt to work in. Like, not even one of those, like, you know, like the worker belts that's got all the pockets. I can't use those either. No, I don't like. I've got, like, an old-school coffee can. We still have them. You know, like Folgers or all those. I don't drink coffee, but all those different types of blue and green big cans of coffee. That's what I carry out my staples in. So, yeah.
Huh.
Nothing at the farm. It's all about efficiency
cattle, right?
For me.
The cattle, right?
Yes.
So I think belt buckles go with people who have cattle. That would be my stereotype. Mm. I would think.
Yeah, it's a stereotype.
You're doing it wrong. I would think.
No, no, I would. All of our listeners who have cows, I'd be curious how many of them text right now if they wear a belt buckle. I'm going to say, like, if you're a rodeoer, like people who go to rodeos, like I have a few cousins who went on scholarships to the States on rodeo. Like Rod Warren, our cousin, he was the all-around Canadian champ like 7 or 8 times. He was unreal. And like bronc riding and steer wrestling, big, strong dude. And my cousin Bobby Joe, great name, by the way. and Kim
name.
And Casey,
what's his middle name?
They all... it's a really good question. I don't know what his
you
middle
need to
name
find
is.
That
man,
out.
I got like 28 first cousins.
I will text
them.
Middle name is.
Yeah, he actually lives in the States now because he went down on a scholarship and then he just stayed down there. I think he felt like Bobby Joe fit more in Texas than it did in Alberta. So he stayed down there. But no, and you know what? He wore a belt buckle quite regularly. But now he's a realtor. He's retired. I'd have to check if he still wears a belt buckle. But I do know, like, if you're at a rodeo and you don't wear a belt buckle, then you're you're kind
you're
of
alienated.
Not feeding them.
Yep.
Yeah. For average just ranchers, I don't know a lot of people, and we don't really have a ranch. We're like the most we ever had was 70 cows, but I don't know many farmers on a day-to-day basis that where it's kind of like the suspenders look. Like that cover, like overalls, no chance. Hmm. Never would never wear them.
Do you walk coveralls with straw in your mouth?
Every now and then, I like to chew on a good straw.
Piece of straw.
Every now and then, yeah, not often.
Then you gotta have a
then.
Belt buckle, buddy. You're doing it all wrong, man. You can't have a straw in your mouth, piece of straw in your mouth, and no belt buckle.
Your waist is pretty small. You could probably put a bottle cap on there and make it look like a belt buckle.
Yeah, see, we got. I like our listeners. I like our listeners. Hey, boys, horse ranchers have more belt buckles than cow ranchers. I think that's a fair statement. Yeah, like riding the horse, I don't know what it is. And honestly, I never really liked riding horses. Like we had a horse, and if I had a herd cattle, like I almost got decapitated once riding our horse through the bush because, you know, the horse obviously wasn't trained perfect to run through the bush. And so as we're going Mach 10, he decides to go under a branch and it hit me right in the chest. So I'm like, nope. I was like 10. And after that, I was like, I'm not a real big, like I would herd the cows on foot and I felt I was quicker than riding a horse. So.
Well, then maybe you don't qualify for a buckle if you're afraid of horses.
Yeah, no, honestly, I wouldn't. I'm definitely not a buckle guy, but I can wear rubber boots, no problem. You know, like the farmer outfit. But I wear my overalls lots. Like when I worked in the oil field, I got a pair of coveralls that have your name on it. And so then when I quit that and went back to school for radio, I had a few pairs of those coveralls and I still have them. They're unbelievable because I will wear those. You can get cow crap on it, whatever, and then you just take them off and you're clean. So I do wear that a lot during calving season.
You know that you've officially worked at least one day in your life when you have an outfit that has your name on it, like overalls or coveralls with your name on it. You know you've put in a good day's work. I've never had anything that had my name on it.
Oh. No, well, I can tell you, like, that was a big, well, you needed your name on it. Otherwise, you know, because when you take your, they would send them into the dry cleaners, right? And then it would come back and it would just have your name. So mine was Jason G, because there was a lot of Jasons back then. So,
this might be the worst radio we've ever done.
Oh, would you like to buddy, I love it. These are some great oil fields. Here's the thing though. Like, I have a question for our listeners. Can either one of you, well, Strutty, I think, does a little bit, but I brought out a lot of my friends to come and help fence, and I was amazed at how many grown men did not know how to swing a hammer properly. Like, I couldn't, like, put the staple in the fence and then pound it and without missing it and bending it. I was amazed at how many of my friends could not do that efficiently.
Hmm.
Can you guys do it?
Yeah, I can now. I mean, I built a deck in my backyard, so yep, okay. I'm qualified now with a hammer.
All right, Strutty, have you ever stapled a fence?
Oh, sure, stapled a lot of things, buddy. Stapled all kind of paper together. Stapled, you know, that wrapping you put on the outside of insulation, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, it's a different type of staple, ago. Strutty?
Well, still, you asked me if I stapled. I did.
Yeah, but fence. I said fencing staples.
Well, staples are staples. They're different kind of nails,
Maybe.
Too. Or
no, you're wrong on this one.
Oh my goodness, staples are staples.
I could put a fence together in hours, no problem. Jersey off, huge belt buckle, no problem. Big dip in my mouth, and that'd be it.
Hey, Sugar, because we still want to do this with Strutty. He wants to milk a cow. You think you could milk a cow?
I think I could. I feel like I might have done it once in my life.
Really?
I don't know that it'd be that big a deal. It'd be way less a deal for me to milk a cow than it would be for me to step off a plank at 20 meters or whatever we were at that day.
Oh, that's awful.
Okay. Well, no, like, I would just be curious to see how efficient you guys are in milking the cow and getting the rhythm to do it.
Well, I don't think I'd be very good at all. But I'll do it.
I know Strutty wouldn't be.
Okay, down there. Bring a little stool and a huge bucket. Small stool and a built bucket. That's how I operate.
Can I go now? Can I be
hey,
done?
Hey, Sugar, this is a really good...
For today?
This is a really good text. This is a really good text that came in. Sugar said he never had his name on anything. How bad of a player was he in the WHL not to get his name on his jersey?
Well,
did you have your name on your jersey?
That's a little different.
Okay. I mean, because you did have your name on it. Because, I think somebody tried to buy it online.
If you have your name on your breast pocket on an outfit or a uniform, you've worked a day.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did have my name on my sweater. I'm actually looking at it right now. It's the cleanest looking sweater in the this cleanest looking game worn sweater in the history of junior hockey.
Was there any blood on it?
God, no. There's not even a scratch on it. There's not even a mark on it. Unless my coach would have like booted me in the back with a dirty shoe. You need to be on the ice to get your sweater marked up.
Fair enough. Let's get to the I wrote that article about Nugent Hopkins, and I had a lot of people reaching out about what his AAV will be. And the concern I got from people outside of Edmonton, some, you know, other management-type people, the big concern they have right now is that if their free agents get to July 18th, that's when Seattle has basically a three-day window where they can talk exclusively to the unrestricted, well, not exclusively, because obviously the current team can still talk to them, but they can now get involved in the conversations. And no one has more cap space than Seattle. And maybe it's a fear that's not realistic or not, but how active do you think Seattle is going to be, and how much do you think those conversations are going to change, you know, a team who thinks they're close, and then suddenly, if you get to the 18th, because if I was Nugent Hopkins and Larson, I would at least go to the 18th just to hear what they had to say.
Well, I think the position that Nugent Hopkins and Larson would be in is, we're here if you want to talk to us, so, you know, feel free. But there, you know, the push or the rush would be more on the team to not allow those dates to approach, right? The longer you let this go, the closer they are to going, yeah, we don't love your offer, we're just going to wait. Now, if the player wants to be here, then you run the risk that the team decides they can't get you and they make other plans. So there's risk in both directions, but for sure. You know, and what are the chances that the general manager in Seattle would have some interest in a two-way guy who plays the game, you know, maybe a little bit more of an elegant type style, some subtleties in his game that maybe at times are underappreciated. Like, I'm not suggesting that Nugent Hopkins is the same, but you'd think that that GM would have an appreciation for that type of player as well. So I think there would have to be some interest from Seattle there. And if it gets that late, then, yeah, the Oilers are now dealing with Rick Vallette and company can actually listen to what an offer looks like, you know, as opposed to just getting a sense of the market, which I'm sure they all do ahead of time. Every agent, if they're doing their job, they get a sense of the market ahead of time. But you could all of a sudden start talking a little more turkey, and it gets real.
Joined by Ryan Rashog, breaking down the word of the NHL. It's an interesting one. When I look at, you know, Gregor, you know, talked a little bit, maybe about a longer deal, and that brings the AAV down. Let's say it brings it down to $5 million a year.
You'd have to give him 10 years to get it down to $5 million. Like, Ryan Nugent Hopkins, I would be absolutely gobsmacked if there was a deal that was for $5 million that kept Nugent Hopkins here. Attach however many years you want to it. I don't think it's happening, guys.
You don't think it's going up to 8 years? Doesn't get him at $5 million a year?
I would be very surprised if that happened.
Well, let me spell it like this. Let's say he signs a 6-year deal for $36 million, and he comes out of that 33. What does his last 2 years look like? Or is he getting way more than that?
Wow, I don't know.
That'd be $4 million short. Is he getting still $4 million a year at that time?
Right. So, I mean, you can do that math and say, okay, you might come up $4 million shy on the other end of it, or, you know, you can do an AAV with a guy that makes sense based on where his market value is right now. And, you know, like, it's a fine line, Struds. I just think whittling this down to $5 million, I just don't know that there's enough years you can give him to whittle it down that much. Like, when you talk about adding term to the deal to get the dollar value down, what do you think the relative value of a year is on a deal? So let's say the Oilers go, okay, we'll give you $7 million.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, maybe that gets you down to, I'm totally guessing here, 5 3/4, 5.5, like 5.7. But giving them 8 years doesn't, you know, I don't think it cuts it down that much.
Well, let's just do the math. If you say we're going to give you 6x6, that's $36 million. Mm-hmm. We'll give you 8x5, and that's $40 million. So mm-hmm. he's up 4, so he's making 2 extra million in the last 2 years. You know, by the last 2 years, his 34 and 35 year old NHL seasons. You know, is he a $3 million player, $4 million player? Adam Henrique is a $5.8 million player in his last year at 35.
Right.
Now maybe a different game time, and he was with that team when he signed that deal. So, you know, you look at it, you're like, okay, you're Nugent Hopkins. Okay, well, I'm going to get 8 years. I know I'm going to be for the next 8 years. I can stop renting and buy a house, and here I am. You know, like, I don't know. I'm not saying that's a deal breaker, but how much money is he really moving out the total pot? You know, the whole pot, how much he's missing out on the last
call. The longer you go, the more risk the team assumes as well. So
100%.
The team has to assume by handing out an eight-year deal that he's still going to be worth that dollar figure at the tail. So their risk level goes up, too. I don't know that the risk tolerance from either side will be there to do that deal. You know, I think I could see the team stretching it to seven to try and get something done. And I could see Nugent Hopkins, I don't know, and I'm guessing here, but you could see him, who knows, maybe diving a touch below the $6 million mark if there's extra years attached, but I just don't know that you're going to find $1 million a year. Because at that age, I mean, who knows where you're at? You know, who knows where the league minimum is at? Who knows, you know, and if at the end of the day, it's a couple million in either direction when you've already made that much. I think Gregor was right in his article when it's like, I think it's a 5 or 6 year deal with the slight potential that it is seven, but I think it's a 5 or 6 year deal.
Schauger, thanks for this. Have yourself a good one and enjoy the game tonight. Habs, Vegas. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds good, guys. Take it easy.